Let me just make sure you're live on both, and then you can start. Very professional here. All right, it looks like we're live on YouTube, I think. Let me just make sure it looks good. We're saying we're live. Everything's refreshing for me, and I can't see if we're live or not.
It says live in the corner, so I'm assuming we're live.
Yeah, the StreamYard's live. I just want to make sure everything looks good on the video before we get complaints about it. Excellent condition.
Yeah,
audio sounds fine. Oh, okay, everyone says we're good. Okay, all right. Let me mute myself. And oh, yep, I see us now. Okay, let me mute myself, and I'll start recording.
Okay.
All right.
So welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to a special episode of Strike and Mike. Mike is busy with something important right now. I'm here interviewing one of the main organizers from the amazing NJP event this last weekend. So first and foremost, welcome, Carson, to our show.
Oh, thanks so much, Stryker. I really appreciate the invite and getting the chance to talk about what an amazing demonstration that we had over this last weekend.
Yeah. Well, the first thing I think that we should open the program with is this amazing video of Warren speaking to the victim, White, Jamie White, the father who protected his daughter as a criminal, black criminal, began opening fire on them. Now, what is so amazing about this video is that this victim of a heinous, unprovoked crime tells Warren what actually happened, and he also complains that the Associated Press, the rest of the media, made sure to omit this, so they lie through omission. So play the video, Borsman.
My name's Warren Baylog, all right? I'm with the National Justice Party. We're the guys that are out here. We support you guys all the way.
It is. They made it a racial thing, man. Yeah.
I'm gonna kill your fucking white ass.
Oh, man. Is that what he said?
Yeah, word for word what he said.
Oh, man.
If you want to get in touch, you know, anything we can do, man. Anything we can do to help you. Anything we can do to make sure.
Y'all have got more out about this situation than any newscast could.
Appreciate it, brother. Really do. It means a lot. I'll tell all these guys here.
It was a racial thing.
No, it's happening all over the country. He wasn't even there a week.
Yeah. Jeez. He wasn't supposed to be in the house he was in.
Oh, my God.
The dude that was in the house was so scared of him and his son left.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
They were, dude, he'd been there maybe 5 days.
Oh, my God.
And every day he cussed every one of these kids from Lambda.
Yeah, so there you have it. No one in a better position to tell you what occurred other than the father who saved his daughter's life, took a few bullets after the child's basketball went into a black person's yard, and someone who's not even supposed to be living there literally just started attacking them for their race and without provocation began opening fire on. To this date, we don't have any inkling of a hate crime being charged or anything. He's being charged with crimes that in this country at this point get you out in a couple of years. So it's very important that this man's story be heard. And thanks to you and Warren and others, the NJP, Carson, we had a good turnout. Thanks to you guys, this working class, ignored man's story is getting out. So congratulations.
Oh, well, thank you so much. We all feel pretty incredible about how viral of this has gone since last weekend. You know, it's all over Twitter. It's all over Gab, and it's all over Telegram. There's a lot of people aware of this that just had no idea about this case. And, you know, just like Warren said to Jamie, it's happening all over this country, and it just doesn't get the coverage. It just isn't treated the way that it should. And, you know, one of the best ways that you can really change that in the real world is to get out and just tell people. If you get a group of 40, 50 guys out shouting out message on a busy intersection, then a lot of people are going to learn about this that didn't know before, or, you know, even better, they heard about it, but can't really talk about it. They know that nothing righteous, no justice will come. And it was absolutely incredible. And having the chance to see Warren get on the phone with Jamie and Kinsley was just an incredibly powerful moment for me as an activist, and made everything worth it. You know, I want those hate crime charges more than anything, but just that alone was just incredibly gratifying.
Yeah, no, I mean, sometimes it could feel quite overwhelming, you know, dealing with not only a two-tier justice system based on your race. So the discrimination is always against the working class whites in particular. It's also frustrating the amount of censorship that we endure to get our stories out. So, for example, Justice Report, this is actually a national story, and we have an actual scoop, and the Justice Report's URL is banned from Twitter. You can't even post the URL to this. So getting the word out is so vital. And even if we're censored, we can still get around it just by going in person. Okay. The future of nationalist activism, the future of awakening our people is all going to be in person, in my opinion. We see the writing on the wall. As we can see with Vice Media going out of business, BuzzFeed, digital media is dead. There's a million reasons for it that we don't have to go into, but you know, the amount of work you can do online is becoming more and more limited. We have to get together in person and meet these people face to face. And that's what you guys did in North Carolina. And you guys were there for how long?
We were there for a little more than 3 hours. You know, I think the live stream went for about two and change, but we did stick it out for quite a while longer. And it was shortly after the live stream ended that a family of the whites showed up. And, you know, I'm sure that we might have a little more coming out around that, but it was we stuck it out, and the guys were just so animated by what we were doing there. Everyone there, and I talked to most of the activists that were there in some kind of one-on-one basis at some point, and everyone there were completely emotionally invested in what we were doing. They were, you know, this is not a cynical, you know, kind of attempt at getting more attention just for the NJP. It's about the message itself. It's about that little girl and her father, her hero father, and what they're enduring and getting justice for them. That's why everyone was there. And that's why they stuck it out.
Yeah. And also making sure that the individual who committed this heinous crime goes to jail for a long time.
Yes.
Because the problem in this country is that, I mean, we saw this with the illegal alien in Texas who the FBI can't find him. He shot like five people. They can't find this person. This person was deported four times from the country. So at what point does a violent criminal get, you know, segregated from society for at least a decade? You know, and this is something that seems to be only possible when someone gets convicted with a hate crime.
Right.
And so we want people of European descent to have the same rights, the same dignity and the same protections under American law that every other group has. There's nothing controversial or immoral or evil about that. Okay. There's nothing wrong with that. That's why, you know, you guys were there and the family actually saw you. family members saw you and came up to you to thank you. And, you know, this is going to keep happening because I mean, you tell me, you were there. This is a Gastonia County, is it called?
It's Gaston County, and we were in Gastonia. Okay. Yeah. And, yeah, no, we had dozens of people driving by honking their horns. We, this message, this explicitly pro-white message calling for justice in this case, it resonated with people that have to live amongst this stuff. It really did. People were incredibly thankful that there was finally someone, some group organizing together to, tell the truth.
Well, you'll find that there is no real representation for that type of crowd. I mean, is it what was your impression of the area? Is it kind of neglected by, you know, are the people there kind of humble? Is it rural? What's your impression?
Yeah, all of the above for sure. And, you know, something that Warren pointed out was just that over the last couple decades, over the last few decades, it's dropped dramatically in terms of the demographics of white people that live in that county and live in that town. You know, it was 75%, and now it's down to 50%. And there's a direct correlation between the violent crime that happens in that town. And the people that live there and have lived there know that. I think they implicitly understand why it's happening, but just the system won't allow them to face that truth and do something about it.
Yeah. Usually when the biggest fear people have when they go to these events isn't actually the potential for, you know, communist opposition or anything like that. It's usually law enforcement. Yes. How did the police behave? Were they gentlemen? Did they respect your rights? What was that like?
They didn't seem to interact with us much at all. They kept their distance. You know, they had eyes on us the whole time. They were rolling around the block continuously. But no, they as far as eye positioning, they didn't even lock eyes with us. they kept an eye on us, but maintained a distance. I think it's pretty clear when we get out and say the things that we're saying and do what we're doing, that law enforcement understand that we're not there to cause violence. We're not there to break the law. We're there to practice perfectly legally protected speech. We're there to do something perfectly legal. So you're absolutely right that that's something that budding activists are really concerned about a bit more than, you know, communists and Antifa and things of that nature, at least these days. It's definitely more of a fear of law enforcement, but I'm telling you, everything that the NJP does is perfectly legal. And while that isn't a guarantee that means law enforcement will, you know, adhere to what they should, in my experience so far, law enforcement understand when they look at a crowd of white guys demanding justice, we're there peacefully and they give us some space.
Well, I think, you know, the way we do it is we show up with our people without warning. So because the problem is when you warn in advance, when you say you're going to be there, then it turns into a spectacle. But also, most importantly, if you don't announce it and it's just a spontaneous protest, police default to respecting your rights. It's not a situation like in Charlottesville where the mayor was colluding with the Anti-Defamation League. God knows why. And of course, the FBI also plays a role in causing problems. It's a political police, so they will set up little traps and create incidents if they have to. But if you go there unannounced with your crew, with locals, I mean, a lot of the guys that went to this were local from North Carolina, correct?
That's absolutely right. Yeah, you know, I don't want to speak too much in the specifics, but. A large amount of the people that were there know the area.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty impressive for the NJP because we can project this type of power. We can get out 30 or 40 guys anywhere in the country, and they're different guys. Yes. And so this is actually something I'm proud of. It's pretty good for a nationalist group, just a little more than 3 years into this, or almost 3 years into this. So very impressive. And you guys down there are doing great work. I mean, are you like, what's the situation down south?
Well, you know, at least in Tennessee in particular, you have these cities like Nashville and Chattanooga that, you know, have a lot of money going into it that, but a lot of that money that's going into these kind of these big interests are completely neglecting the whole seas of towns of rural whites that are really beginning to get the picture. You know, I've had it explained to me that the South, Southeast region and Tennessee in particular is, had it explained to me like it was a meta for white nationalism where there's just enough of every kind of necessary ingredient to create really animated activists that are looking to get into the action and, you know, get some change going. So that's been my experience since I've jumped in, and this is really only the beginning.
Do you find that? So I haven't been down south in a long time, but I'm constantly hearing the word, maybe not gentrification, but it is changing. Tennessee, North Carolina, Georgia. That there's a lot of kind of more liberal bourgeois types going down there, telling locals what to do. I don't want to see your Confederate flag. I don't, you know, that kind of business. Replace your favorite bar with a pottery barn, right? Like that kind of business going on down there. What's the local sentiment regarding this?
Oh, it's exactly what you would expect. It is utter resentment, you know, and it's kind of amorphous without direction, without understanding of why it's happening and what can be done about it. But it is absolutely there. It's palpable. And it's in every environment you go in, when there's the native white population that has to deal with this gentrification, it's everyone is ready for it to be over, but it's not going to be over. Not for a long time. It's going to continue. It's going to get worse until people are, you know, they get educated on why it's happening and what can be done. And that's what we're trying to do now.
Yeah. You know, it's so fascinating because you see in some of these small towns, kind of the export of urban kind of California or New York values, you know, the drag queen stuff and all that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what like locals there are probably perplexed by this, aren't they? Like, what's the political climate there?
Oh, no, it's everyone's kind of in this state of shock because it's at least to them, you know, whether it's a frog in boiling water or not, it appears to be happening so quickly, like it just happened overnight. And, you know, and of course it hasn't, it has been something that's been building up to what it is now, but, no, your average rural white Southerner has nothing but resentment and confusion for this, you know, we can call it elite, we can call it Jewish, this culture of, you know, subversion of the basic Southern traditional values. It's pretty self-evident to everybody that I speak with. And I talk to a lot of people. I try and keep my tabs on what normal people are feeling, because that's who I ultimately want to get this message out to, is just good, healthy, normal people. And right. they're receptive to it. They really, really are. And I think, you know, just the basic principles of just social proofing, the more people that we have out at these demonstrations, the more that we grow, the more effective our messaging is going to be, just because of basic group psychology. And it's really just going to get bigger and better from here.
Yeah. Another thing too, have you noticed an uptick in crime in the South, in Georgia, North Carolina, Tennessee? Is there a lot of violence, like particularly interracial violence going on? Or,
oh, I mean, that's so hard to say, because we've always had this, you know, yes, I would say yes. Just because, you know, if there are black populations anywhere over the last 5-10 years, and they've, really, really gotten a little more violent, a little more active with crime. But we've always had this, these large black populations here. And, you know, there's these discussions and arguments about Southern blacks and Northern blacks. And there's a lot of truth to that there's a lot of Southern blacks that tend to be more agreeable. But, you know, for me, I grew up with a lot of, you know, a lot of Memphis blacks that would, you know, kind of show up, and that's a whole nother breed. So kind of the charming Southern black argument never really landed for me, just based on what I had to deal with. But, yes, absolutely. You know, people don't realize, like, Nashville, just for example, is, it's only 60% white on paper, and realistically it's only about 50% white. And what you can imagine what that actually means on the ground, what that actually feels like. It's absolutely, it's really difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. I find that I read recently that Memphis, Tennessee is one of the most violent cities in the Western hemisphere. Yeah. So I can only imagine your experience growing up in such a place. I mean, I can't even imagine. Someone told me recently that there's like the children's hospital, St. Jude's, is there, right?
Right.
That, and so that's basically what's keeping that whole place from just becoming Haiti.
Yeah.
So tell me, were there any detractors when you guys went down there? But I mean, I was watching over the live stream and commenting, and I heard some of that in the distance. I don't know what's
the
story with that.
Yeah, you know, there is a few groups of blacks that were really, really upset to see people standing up against anti-white violence, anti-white hate. But there was really one lady in particular that circled a few times. We found her Twitter that she uploaded a lot of these videos on at some point.
Oh, really?
And yeah. And it was, and she, you know, was speaking into her cell phone, just like, you know, y'all ain't gonna believe this. Oh, and, you know, filmed us, started screaming at us, take your masks off, show us your face, and, you know, the whole bit. And she didn't for a moment consider why we were out there. Like, in her mind, the only reason that we could have possibly organized is because we hate her, that we want to hurt her, that we're organizing to do a Klan rally or something. She didn't once consider the actual case that we were describing, the messaging on our signs or anything to that effect. She didn't consider it whatsoever. And I feel like that was probably the case for most of our detractors, where it was just a light switch brain racial conflict right off the bat. As soon as they saw whites advocating for themselves, then it was game on. It was time to be hostile. And we had one car that drove by, a lot of people yelling, screaming, and they must have gone home, and they actually rigged up a sign, a cardboard sign that they put in their window as they began to drive by again. And it said, "Fuck crackers." They ran out of they didn't really think this sign out, so they ran out of space. So it said "fuck cracker s."
Well, here's the thing: like, why are you mad at us? We're just saying, right. Hey, stop shooting our kids.
Right.
That's all we're saying. Just stop shooting at us. That's it. That's our humble demand. Stop shooting at our children, in particular. Mm-hmm. And that, if that's controversial, then what kind of discussion can we have? Because we're perfectly willing to have a discussion with the black community about these issues. However, if these kind of, I suspect there are some black people that understand that, you know, what happened there was wrong.
Right.
But the problem is these vocal minorities are essentially in the driver's seat, empowered by institutional power, by money power, and they get the megaphone, right? So, yeah. Like, it's not just like, hey, stop shooting at us, but you know what? Maybe you should stop shooting at each other as well. This is, like, not good for our society. It makes this country really dangerous. It makes this country really unpleasant to live in. So how could you disagree with us on this, you know?
Yeah, that's, we actually did have a few cars with black people in there that honked and gave us thumbs up. And I don't know if it's as you describe, where they understand the reality of this and they also want to see a change, or if they just saw people protesting and thought, hey, this is nice. I'm not sure, but we did have a few a few blacks that approved of what we were doing there. It was interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible that they agreed with the message to a point, but it's also possible that they also just enjoy the commotion. I've seen this phenomenon whenever we protested outside of police stations. They may just think that, hey, these guys are protesting for BLM or something like that, because this is the problem, is that white people in this country assume, whites and blacks, like, people aren't used to white working class people protesting for their rights. They assume that everything is, you know, only black people can protest, only, you know, gay people can protest.
Right.
And so on and so on. So someone actually is sending me videos of this very incident. Let's see, Borzo, I'm sending them to you on Telegram. Let's see.
Okay, give me a second.
Oh, boy. I'm getting these live over here.
Yeah, like, you know, we had a good bit of blacks support what we were doing in Nashville when it came to our protests around the Audrey Hale shooting.
Yeah.
And I think that was an instance where they actually did understand. They were just on board with what we were talking about. But yeah, this was curious.
This is why conservatives oftentimes will emphasize the trans and LGBT opposition, because they can make common cause with blacks on that.
Yes.
However, while that's also important, I find that we need to also talk about, you know, our kids being shot at.
Absolutely.
And that's something that the institutional Republican Party won't touch anymore. Like, they've dropped the law and order issue. Okay. So we're just expected to live with crime all the time. Okay. Now, I'm not talking about like someone going around smoking weed. I'm talking about like people that have repeatedly shot people.
Yeah.
Still walking our streets.
Yeah. The Democrats blame the guns. The Republicans blame the Democrats. And the real issue goes completely ignored.
Yeah. Another thing, too, is that, you know, one would assume that in the South that the criminal justice system is a little more hardcore. But that isn't true, is it?
No.
No. Yeah, it's not. So the Republic, do you have a Republican mayor in Nashville? And
no, actually, we did.
Governor?
We do have a Republican governor. Bill Lee, he's kind of the one that led the this anti-trans stuff. That's been put on hold until the end of this month. So we'll see how that goes. You know, it was a Trump appointed judge, Judge Cooper, if I remember correctly, or it might be Carter. I'm sorry. It escapes me, but, it's been put on hold by a Trump appointed judge until the end of this month. We'll see what happens there. But, it was Bill Lee, who was a Republican governor of Tennessee that has, wanted to, or claims to want this bill to go into action. But yeah, I'm really skeptical. I don't have a lot of hope that anything actually.
Yeah, they looked like they were doing something for a second. But then they ran into the state capitol, and, you know, there's this whole ordeal. And it seems like the leftists won that one, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They won that one. It was like, it looked like for a second, it looked like the Republicans were actually winning. And I made the mistake of giving them credit for that. And as soon as I'm done saying, wow, the GOP has done something right, when it all gets reversed, like rapidly. So like a complete 180 of the policy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, Borzo, play some of these videos.
Okay.
This is just for context. This is the lady that was complaining about them.
Okay, yo, Facebook, friends, fam, watchers, haters. I am out minding my business. I'm out minding my business. And I want y'all to see what is going on in my town. Let me see if I can flip this dog on camera without wrecking myself or getting a damn ticket. Okay. All right. So this is Gaston County.
It's kind of I think it's frozen, Borzo.
Wait for it. Wait for it.
Borzo, it's frozen.
Okay. I guess you can't. It's Telegram. I guess you can't play like easily straight from Telegram. Let me download them and
yeah.
Send
this.
Yep.
Oh, okay. It seems to be playing now.
Yeah. Let me just go ahead and download them.
Download.
Yeah. So yeah. Go ahead and just give me 1 second.
Yeah. So, yeah. No. All I'm saying though, Carson, is that the Republicans look like they were doing something. I mean, have any of them campaigned on law and order issues down there?
Not that I can recall. Maybe in a very superficial sense, but as far as like actually tackling crime and addressing it for what it is, you don't see that much of that. Even here in the South, yeah, people have a lot of misconceptions about. You know what it's like to actually live in the South, especially a Southern city. And it's really when it comes to how a city is managed, it isn't that different from anywhere else in the country at this point. It really isn't.
That's incredible. Again, what's the excuse? You know, I was talking about this the other day. Republicans have controlled Texas for the last 40 or 50 years. And look at what Texas looks like. I mean, holy crap. Like, what a cesspool. It's a cesspool.
Yeah.
It's not really all that different from California. The taxes are lower, maybe, but that's about it. It's demographically and in terms of law and order, in many respects, just as lawless. There's just as many illegal aliens as in California. It's the same. I think whites are 35% of the Texas population, very similar to California. These are our two biggest states, and the fact that one is run by Democrats and one is run by Republicans doesn't seem to make any difference. And we see something similar in North Carolina, no?
Oh, no, absolutely. I was actually I was pretty shocked spending time in North Carolina. At some point, it was actually just over the border in South Carolina, but close. I stopped at a Cracker Barrel, which tends to, appropriate to the name, tends to be a place where you would see a majority of white customers.
We used to call it the White People Museum.
Right. That's kind of what I remember growing up. But no, when we went in there, and I'm not exaggerating at all, it was more than 2/3 Mexican.
Really? In North Carolina.
Yeah, it was technically South Carolina, but it was just it was close. It was close.
That's amazing.
And it actually surprised me. And I've seen this happen in my own state of Tennessee, but to see how broad it is, this demographic change is just it's incredibly sobering. And you know, if what Stryker said earlier about Texas being like a cesspool insults you, well, that's and you're a proud Texan. Well, you're proud of Texas history. You're proud of Texas once was the identity that's been built up around that. But the reality is whether it's Republican or Democrat, as you noted, Stryker, it's just that's not what it is anymore, and something has to change.
The things we care about are the same. Like there's no real difference between the things we care about. It's maybe it's cheaper to live, but that's about it. And that's not for long. We see all the tech companies are now moving to Texas because they can pay less taxes.
Right.
So it's going to become just as expensive. Austin is already there.
Yep.
Houston is getting there. So anyway, Borzoi, play that video.
Okay. Yo, Facebook friends, fam, watchers, haters. I am out minding my business. I'm out minding my business. And I want y'all to see what is going on in my town. Let me see if I can flip this dog on camera without wrecking myself or getting a damn ticket. Okay. All right. So, this is Gaston County. Wait for it. This is where the fuck I live. This is where I live. I'm gonna circle back around to this. Yo! for this because shouldn't laugh because this is very serious. Because you recognize that none of them are showing their faces, okay? So let's be clear. If you were standing so much for what you believe in, then you would show your face, okay? Anything that you say, you should be able to stand on. It shouldn't matter who you are. You know, it shouldn't matter that what you're talking about. If you believe, let me get this right. If you believe in what you're saying, then it shouldn't matter who knows that you believe it, right? If it's right, then you should be able to show your face. But I'm going to circle back around here because I want people to know where I live. Like, oh my God. Like, this is ridiculous. Like, if you believe so much, take your mask off your face. Show us who you are. Thank you. Show us who you are.
Justice now.
Stand on what you believe. Show us your face. No? And this is why there's an issue, right? Because they don't want to show their faces. They walk amongst our community and they don't want us to know who they are, but they believe in this thing that they espouse.
Well, pause that for a second. Sorry. Pause that.
White is right.
So what she's omitting there is that this is a town where white people are shot for small things. So if a local is perhaps a little reluctant to show his face, I mean, it's because they're afraid of particularly black or leftist violence being targeted for attack. So if you want to have people take their masks off, well, let's first address the problem of your people shooting our people. Let's try that first. And then we could talk about that.
Yeah, she finds the very concept laughable, genuinely laughable.
Right. But, you know, the reason these people, you know, let's, for example, look at the flip side, the Black Lives Matter activists. Many of them didn't show their face either. She doesn't have a problem with that.
Yep.
Those people are actually doing it. Now, they're basically the paramilitary of the system. So they're just covering their face because they're committing crimes. Our guys some of them have to cover their face because of violence. Okay, literal violence. You don't want them shooting up your house or shooting at your family. So this is of course a bad faith argument that she's making because she knows full well about this. With that said, continue, Borzel.
But they won't show us their face. They walk amongst our community. They have this belief that they are better than, and that they are being treated some kind of way, but yet they won't show their faces. They won't show their faces. It is amazing. It is amazing. I mean, this is where I live, people. This is where I live. This is Gaston County. Okay? Every day, there are people walking amongst our community who feel like their whiteness is being attacked. You are the majority. There is no anything that you are not the majority of. You're the majority of landholders. You're the majority of homeowners. You're the majority of business owners. Anti-white, I have never heard, well, I have heard, I should say, I shouldn't say I've never heard, because I have heard it. It's ridiculous. I gotta take my hat off. It's ridiculous. It is absolutely ridiculous. Oh my God. Oh my God. I'm doing a big circle around this time because I just had to add this commentary to it. Like, they want to be seen. They want to be seen. They want to be on. They, they want to be seen. The people that don't have masks on are those that are part of organizations. So they're getting their name out, right? And so this is where I live. Like, this is where I live. I'm going to circle the block. I'm going to circle the block because I'm going to give them the attention that they want, but not in the way that they want to have it. Thank you. Because it is absolutely ridiculous that in, what is this, 2023, that in a country where white people, European descent, and here it is, this thing, right? Some of my best friends are white. Oh my God, I should go pick up Miss Nancy and see if she wants to ride around with me. Oh, I'm about to do that. I'm gonna circle the block one more time though, because it's ridiculous. They got the news coming out here. You know, you got the police officers talking and all this kind of stuff like that. I want to know where their permit is. You remember in Gaston County when they were having all the disputes? They're standing right in front of the courthouse, right? You remember we went through all of this, that they have to submit permits and all that kind of stuff like that. When was that permit submitted? How did we miss that? You know, I work every day. I work multiple jobs and everything like that. And this is supposed to be my anniversary weekend. I'm supposed to be out enjoying myself, whatever. I'm cute today. And I roll up on this bullshit. Okay, yes, spicy word. I'm trying to stay away from them. But good gosh almighty. Ridiculous. Come out. Oh, you know what? I'm going to turn right on red because this light don't want to change. Ridiculous. Yeah, I'm going to roll by again. Like, they want to be seen. They want to have some commentary behind what they see. I'm just hoping that when I go back and look on the video or when people are watching this, that there are some people that you see that you recognize. Because, again, I'm going to double down on that comment. Like, you believe in what you believe. That's fine. Stand on it. As my daughter would say, stand on your block. But when you stand on your block, that don't mean you cover your face. And it goes for, you know, you are imitating what criminals do. Criminals cover their face so that you can't recognize them, so that they can't be held accountable. So you're standing out here in front of the Gaston County Courthouse with mask over your face, shouting anti-white crime. Get out of here. Okay? Stop it.
Notice also Borzo.
Oh my God.
Notice that there's no interest in the substance of what they're saying.
Exactly.
Completely obsessed with how they look or what the superficialness of it. What is the substance of what they're saying? Well, we have the father who saved his daughter's life by covering her as a black person shot at them. His daughter got hit in the face with a bullet. He got shot multiple times. And the man shooting at them was cursing and making racial comments. Yeah. And they had done nothing, knew nothing about this person, done nothing to him. Like now that we have this video, if this woman were to see it, would she say anything about it? Would she say, oh, maybe they have a point? Maybe, I mean, this is why these discussions are completely pointless with the other side. It's because they don't want to understand our point of view.
Yeah.
Okay.
I imagine it would be less shocking for her than what we were doing out there.
Yes.
Honestly.
Yes, complaining about being shot at for your race is more offensive to people, some people, than the actual crime, the substance of the matter.
Yeah.
And this person will go on Facebook. The thing is, though, is that anyone with an IQ over 85, who I doubt this person has, knows that even if you feel this way, going out there and taking the side of, you know, that little girl deserved it or whatever, or we shouldn't talk about it. You know, anyone taking that position looks like an asshole.
Yeah.
So most white liberals will just not comment, in my experience. Now, have you seen any different?
No, not at all. You're absolutely right. I think the cognitive dissonance that your average white liberal will experience, they have to focus on something else. They have to just turn away and not acknowledge what it is. Because like this wasn't just a case of a black man accidentally shooting white people in some kind of like turf war or something like that. He emptied his gun into a crowd of white children and their families. He got another one and emptied that one too.
I mean, I think also the proof, it's a proof of concept that the media, to my knowledge, has not covered this protest, correct?
I mean, no, there, you know, there was the Associated Press that heavily redacted the comments of the shooter, Robert Singletary. There was local news, but as far as, I haven't heard anything else.
So nothing in the local media, nothing on the 9 o'clock news, nothing on anything.
As far as our demonstration, no, nothing.
That's incredible because, you know, what's funny, some of the other groups had demonstrations and they got media coverage.
I know. I noticed that myself. Or
whatever, but this one, they don't. There's what, 40 people at this?
Yeah, more than 40. Yeah, okay. there was at least 40 guys there on the corner. Then we had some, you know, teams in support in different roles, and it was big. It was got a lot of attention by a lot of passerbys, and we had some Antifa attention as well. It's like, you know, watching that really? Video. Yeah, we.
Well, they're not too far. So Asheville is not far from there, right?
It's certainly they had time given that we were out there for so long, because it was actually real early, pretty much right as we set up, that there was one visibly Antifa looking kid, like had a pink mohawk and all, that began, you know, just watching what we were doing from across the street, getting some videos and probably letting his people know what we were up to. They certainly had time, if they wanted to assemble something to show up and counter-protest
us. They don't come out for this because they know that they're in the moral wrong.
Exactly.
You know, this is our philosophy for activism, is always take up an issue where you are in an unambiguous moral right.
Right.
If you have the moral high ground, both the anarchists and the police are afraid of you. We have the we FOIA'd immediately when you guys were done. We FOIA'd all of the Gaston County's sheriff's communications. And one of them, by the way, the cop in it says there were 70 people protesting.
So interesting.
This is the person trying to gauge how fast you're going on the highway.
Yeah.
This is the person. So
soon enough.
You got the cop saying 70 people, and he was communicating, saying that the sheriff needs to make a call whether to break up the protest and send people home. And they didn't do it, right?
No. And in fact, I saw in that video that there was a couple cops talking to Alan there. Well, they must have not been there very long, and they certainly didn't tell us to disperse or anything. Because I was leading chants at that time, but you know, I did occasionally walk down the line and keep an eye on everything. And I didn't have any interaction with any law enforcement, so they must have just checked in on us and then left us to our business.
In the text messages we got FOIA'd, they were saying we will be discreet and watch them.
Yeah.
And that's it. I'm sure they're going to go. They're going to file a Fusion Center report. All the big bad Nazis came to town, and they're going to write about how Michael Painovich is a disgruntled war veteran. That is, you know, that kind of crap. I mean, we FOIA these things. We've seen some of these Fusion reports, and they're as stupid as you think they're going to be. It's just completely inaccurate information. It's just this country's a damn joke. These people are all a damn joke.
Yeah, we're never going to see justice we need with this kind of law enforcement infrastructure.
Well, there's no reason for law enforcement to even be making note of this. This is First Amendment protected activity. According to any definition of every Supreme Court precedent, this is allowed. We are allowed to be white and proud. We are allowed to protest these things. We are allowed to have the political opinions we have, even if they make it feel like it's illegal. I mean, that's what the point of all that stuff is. They want to make you feel like what you're doing is criminal or immoral. Add this kind of fog or the smoke of legal ambiguity. But at the end of the day, this is solidly on the right side of the law.
Yes.
So what are you so afraid of? Okay. People out there that are reluctant to come out to join our protests. There's nothing to be afraid of, especially if you have the moral right. Okay. Because if they do try to arrest you, you're going to be put in front of a jury and you're going to be arrested for what? Like, oh, okay. I was protesting because you don't charge people that engage in hate crimes against whites for hate crimes against whites. That's what you'll be in trouble for. You could totally win that if it even happens. So yeah, there's nothing to be afraid of on that front. And we've noticed this because we FOIA'd when the guys went to Ohio to protest outside of the scumbag governor's office who's completely dropped the ball on East Palestine. The sheriffs, we saw some of the documents, the internal communications, I believe, where they were confused about what to do because they wanted to arrest the people or at least get them to go away. But like the optics of it look so bad. So you always have to be in a position where if they touch you, they look bad.
Yeah. I saw some of those. It's exactly what you describe. It was just if you take this defensible position where anyone would be utterly foolish to take action against you, then that's a huge degree of protection for an activist. So if you're listening to this and this kind of stuff that you're seeing, because we're getting results with these demonstrations, we are absolutely making a difference. Yeah. And if you want to make a difference, then if you're vetted, then get in contact with your local organizer. If you're not vetted, get vetted with the National Justice Party, get involved in your local area, and you can also start affecting change.
Yeah, no, it's quite amazing how far we've come so far. I mean, it shows you that there is a massive market for this stuff. And like I was saying before, the internet for us is almost a lost cause because we're not allowed to, I'm personally basically not allowed to use the internet.
Yeah, you in particular.
I can't even have a friggin' Telegram channel grow without being app banned.
Yeah,
you know, it's like instantly. I try to sign up to anything. Substack, supposedly a big First Amendment, revolution on Substack. First article I write, I get friggin' banned. And for the NJP as a whole, there is a strategy. Mostly coming from the right, okay? There's a strategy of dynamic silence.
Yes.
For people like Matt Walsh and Ben Shapiro and those types, for them to thrive, for them to control the direction of the ship, they need to, one, censor us, help censor us, and two, they need to pretend we don't exist, that these issues don't exist, that acts like this, that crimes like this don't exist, that injustices like this don't exist. I mean, they've talked about it before, but, you know, someone saying, let's kill the white people and then going and doing it, that's something that the federal government needs to get involved in. A federal prosecutor needs to slap some serious charges on that. And yet here we have the U.S. attorney of this part of North Carolina is literally the same type of woman as the woman in this Facebook video. It's the same. Yeah. It's probably the same person. Okay. Dina King. So Dina King says that she wants to make, and Warren said this in his speech. Dina King gets appointed U.S. attorney, says that she wants to make prosecuting hate crimes a priority for her office. Here you have a textbook definition of it. No response. No response. Yeah. No attention. Doesn't even cross her desk. Okay. This is a problem we've been having for years because in Waukesha, it was the same story. We have it on good authority that the federal prosecutors did look at hate crimes charges and immediately closed the case.
It's ridiculous.
So that happened in Waukesha. Okay. So, this is just, I mean, it's just getting worse. Nobody is doing anything about it except for us. Okay. Not on this issue. Okay. Now, we're conservatives. They'll take up some of the LGBTQ plus number one or whatever. They'll take up those issues. They'll take up a lot of stuff like religious stuff and so on. But when it comes to advocating for white existence, not advancement, not supremacy,
right?
Existence, mere existence. No conservative in sight. No conservative in sight. They'll take on feminism. They'll take on transgender. They'll take on all these other issues. But when it comes to, hey, can my little girl play outside without getting shot at? Nope. Bridge too far for the conservative movement. And they've gotten worse. They've gotten worse in the last few years.
Yeah.
And I don't see any sign of them recovering from that. However, what's your impression of the whites out there? Are they getting sick of the Republicans?
Absolutely. Especially, there's a big dissonance because you're for the apolitical kind of rural right wing person, you're going to get a kind of default, pro Trump response. That's what I run into. That is just the reality of it. But, increasingly you have, the more politically savvy kind of social figureheads in communities that are beginning to figure out that neither Trump or DeSantis or anyone else that the Republican Party is putting up or considering has any idea how to handle these issues, has any good intentions to actually solve any of the problems that are affecting people on the ground. I'm absolutely seeing that happen. And, you know, like I said, I try and keep tabs on this stuff and talk to people regularly. And I'm telling you, Stryker, people here in the South are becoming more and more receptive to the ideas of that the National Justice Party and similar guys have. Like our way of thinking, our cynicism with this, you know, two-party TV show is becoming more and more normal here in the South. It really is.
Yeah. No, I get that impression as well. You know, it's just that people don't know how to find our stuff. They don't know how to link up. They don't know, you know, that's the main dilemma we have. Now, you know, some people say, well, you should adjust your message to be more palatable to this or that YouTube entertainer. But I'll do one better. How about we just go directly to the people and talk to them?
Exactly.
You know, maybe that's the long way around, but it's always worth it. Lazy man does twice the work.
Yeah, no, that's right. No, the quality of people that we're attracting right now with our current way of messaging is absolutely worth, missing out on some opportunities to reach out into a bigger media sphere or something like that. No, what we're doing now absolutely is working. And I can promise you, because I'm part of vetting here in the South, and it's getting crowded. Like it absolutely is working.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like it's sometimes because, you know, we're so censored, people don't understand just how quickly we are growing. But
yes,
you swelling. Know, ultimately, all, like what I said before on Stryker Mike was, it's a matter of just being patient. Okay, eventually we will see the fruits of our labor blossom, because if we're patient, we will be the last people standing. And also, like, we're really one of the only people that are directly talking about these issues anymore. So this creates a big problem for the system. And I'm happy to be that problem, because if you are discriminating against the majority of your country, which this system does, well, you deserve to be protested, and you deserve to have this type of instability if nobody believes in your system anymore. So this is, I believe, you're doing great work. A lot of our activists, there's more to come, people, more to come. The Justice Report has been covering this story from day one. And what did the father say? He said, you guys have covered this story better than anyone else in America.
Exactly.
Okay? So what does that tell you? It shows you that people are noticing, people are watching what we're doing. It's just a matter of them losing their fear, losing the fear of being, political dissident.
That's right.
At some point, you have to do it. You know, at some point, we have to do it. So let me ask you something else, Carson. Overall, what do you think are the next steps?
Well, I do think as we continue to grow, our demonstrations are going to become even more organized. We already saw this over the last weekend. People are beginning to find their roles, their positions. With the FOIA stuff recently that the NJP has been doing, that's another big step in getting our message out there and understanding the effect it's having. Really, I think for the most part, it's about maintaining course because, like I said, we are absolutely growing. It is working. People are paying attention. I think just keeping an eye out and staying creative with how we approach these shared grievances that white people are experiencing on the ground is the way forward because there's no one else there. And people are beginning to understand that your average apolitical person is beginning to understand that they're not getting any kind of representation.
You know, I think Mike Pavich, our chairman, said this best. He said a lot of right wingers try to calibrate their message to match Fox News under the impression that just because the conservative movement is selling something that people right. are buying it. No, right. that is not true. People in this country are actually not that impressed with Ron DeSantis going to Israel and signing laws banning so-called anti-Semitism in his state. Yeah. That's yeah. not impressive. It is poll numbers show it. Now, Trump yeah. has this sway over the white working class that is largely not even due to what he says, but is actually more so about or related to the fact that the elites reject him. So yes. what people see in Trump is that they think he's a scumbag in many ways. I mean, you saw his Elvis non-fungible tokens or whatever. Yeah. He's like yeah. one where he's Elvis and one where, okay. So, you know, people see that he's a fraud in many respects. However, they also understand, judging from the way the elites treat him, that he can't sell them out even if he wanted to. That's their impression. Now, he right. does. He does sell them out. But the impression is that the media hates him. The GOP elite hate him. The Democrats hate him. Everyone, you know, the courts are constantly, prosecutors are constantly going after him. People are ready for some sort of anti-establishment politics, you know.
Yeah, and absolutely. And yeah, so, no, people yeah. are attracted to Trump. You know, a big part of that is just the how upset he makes people's yeah. social enemies. You know, the people that have such contempt for your average rural white person just hate this guy. But, you know, kind of what I lean into when I'm talking to these people is, well, if you like to see that, if you like to see, you know, libtards cry, then you should see how they react to the National Justice Party. You should see how they react to something like what we're doing, what we're saying, because that is a much, much greater response, greater reaction. And, you know, there's you can be a part people, of that.
There are a lot of people on the phony right that mine this resentment for clicks and profit.
Right.
What we're trying to do, we're not doing that. What we want to do is take that resentment and channel it into something constructive and productive.
Yes.
Because you can own the libs all day long, but at the end of the day, like, it doesn't actually win you anything. We right. want to take that understandable grievance and turn it into a political, forward-thinking political movement. And, you know, it's going to be difficult, but where there's a will, there's a way. And we are actually accomplishing quite a bit with our little budget. Like, oh, man, we have a tiny, tiny budget. But we are constantly reaching victims of these crimes. I mean, what you see on video is only 1/10 of the amount of outreach that we're doing.
Yeah,
we're constantly in contact with these families that are victims. They don't know, they don't have any place to go for advocacy, and they're talking to us all the time. Sometimes they're just afraid of, you know, just like any oppressed people, they may sometimes just be afraid of literally violence, that someone will see them. Advocating for their own rights, and they'll be responded to with acts of violence or terrorism. So that's where we're at in this country. But,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
people are starting to lose their fear because, you know, if going outside and playing with your daughter gets you targeted for violence, well, then anything else, I mean, what else could be worse than that, right? Might as well go down fighting. And that's something that a lot of people are believe. I mean, think of, for example, the wokes versus anti-woke, right? Increasingly in this country, you have Democrats who are openly anti-white, but then you have Republicans who are militant anti-racists, and the anti-racism always means that the whites have to shut up about their grievances. Yeah. So this is not a tenable position, because if there's one anti-white group and one group that says whites should just be invisible, then the anti-white group is going to win. The only way to fight anti-white hatred in this country is by taking a positive white position. Doesn't mean you hate anyone. Doesn't mean we hate black people or anyone. It means that we have to stand up for ourselves, our families, and our communities, even if somebody takes it as an offense or an affront. If that's how you feel, too fucking bad. Sorry. It's just too bad. We're going to keep doing this. So, so anything else, Carson?
Well, I guess I just want to say on that very last subject you touched on, there are even instances where we reach out to people, we reach out to families and to victims, and they want to talk to us. They want to be involved with us, but there's something else, whether it be like their lawyer or something like that, simply says, no, we can't do that. There's no way we can get involved with these guys because then our case is shot, which isn't true. But that, the that's around. The impression that people have. Yeah.
It's the other way around. Okay.
Yes.
It's the other way around. I mean, if how could you possibly think that fighting back is worse than not fighting at all?
Right.
I mean, when has that principle ever been true?
No, that's,
if you fight back, you lose. What the hell, where does that come from? Okay. I mean, that talk about being, and again, this is what I mean about the internet versus real life, that if you reach people in person, they are very, very much for us. When you go on the internet, what happens, this happens to me all the time, this happens to Mike, this happens to NJP all the time, somebody will find something we're doing and retweet or re-telegram it. And instantly they have people in their inbox saying, you can't do that, they're the naughty people. Watch out, they're the naughty people. But then you see what they're actually doing and it's having no impact. So, you know, it's a,
it's just building an audience and nothing more.
It's, you know, again, the conservative movement is controlled opposition. It's controlled opposition. You may, the Bud Light boycott worked, right? But as Mike says, it may have worked, but it costs an overwhelming amount of resources. And at the end of the day, You may have gotten them to backtrack temporarily on Dylan Mulvaney, but Caitlyn Jenner is still on your Fox News. So, so what are they going to do? Oh, Blair, they'll just get Blair White next time.
Yep.
You know? This is what people have to understand, is that conservatism is nothing more than a placeholder. It's never going to defend you or your rights. We are the only entity in America that can defend people of European descent from this type of overt discrimination. So you have nothing to lose. Right. You're already a hated group. There's nothing you can do about that other than push back and assert your dignity. We have dignity. We are people that have... We're human beings with dignity. We have a right to speak our minds. We have a right to exist. We have a right to not be killed. How freaking simple is that?
No, it's extremely simple. And I think this is messaging that is working. Our demonstrations are only going to get bigger, better, more organized. And I very much look forward to having Mike back. And I hope to share a demonstration with you one of these days, Stryker. I really look forward to
that. This is a short notice and a bit of a trek for me.
Of course,
it was too much. The flights were insane and so on. But
and you know, it was the funniest thing following the event. You know, and of course, I'm in a mask for now, but I couldn't tell you how many people saw that footage and said, "Oh, look, there's Stryker." Just you and I share a physique and a gait. Yeah, same body build. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh boy. So it's only up from here, onward and upward, and we're gonna continue to get results. This is the way to do it. Get vetted with the NJP, And it's only going to get better from here.
Yeah, now it's now. Now is the time.
It's now.
Now. All righty.
So, there were actually two questions on Odyssey that I think are worth addressing.
Okay,
from
sure.
Let's hit that the questions. Came in.
If people want to send in questions, go ahead. We have some time.
Yeah.
We got.
Yeah. So most of the donations were just things like Ryan saying HH. It's a nice $25 donation here, but here Robson 101 donated $25 and asks, "What area of law do our guys need to go into the most? Law, immigration, civil rights,
criminal law, and civil rights law, criminal law, civil rights law, constitutional law. Those are the things that we need more than anything."
There we go.
Okay.
Criminal law is the top, because you know they've tried everything with us. The only step they have left is to just throw us in prison. Okay. Now they've had trouble doing that because we obey the freaking law. But I'm starting to see, you know, like that Florida law on flyers and stuff. Like, we're seeing the system move towards open content, speech content policing. Like, it's now open now. It's increasing. And if you don't have any lawyers to challenge that in federal court, well, that's just gonna be the law. So this is, I find, to be the next big issue that we're going to face, is that they're just going to make it illegal for us to peacefully protest. So, yeah. Come on, lawyers. Okay. Let's go.
Yep. 1488, Hail Victory. DS Allen says, "I have family roots in both North Carolina and Tennessee, so all the great work the guys have been doing down there lately means a lot to me. Keep it up, boys."
You got it.
1488 again from WPWW. "I was going to donate $6 million, but then I saw Stryker finally got enough money for a palace and even a shirt. Hail Victory."
Oh, yes. You guys love my new mansion over here.
Nice digs.
Yeah, you love it. I'm going to play my piano after this.
There are many white heroes in modernity. We will just never hear about them. Rival Pilot says asks for $20. "Mike talked about it on Tedious, but what are your thoughts on these conservative boomers criticizing the masks?"
So there's two things going on with that. The first one is the boomers, right-leaning boomers, saying these are feds. Now, you tell me. So, you know, I mean, I don't know many that type of, like, extremely online boomer. Do you know many, Carson?
Sure. Or at least I've had to deal with them.
Where does that come from? Where does that whole "they're feds" thing come from? Like, are they being taught this by someone? Like, where's this coming from?
You know, if I had to assume, it was just based on the narrative around the Summer of Love in 2020, and how there was that narrative that a lot of the more spicy actors involved were actually feds wearing masks, when in reality it was just largely a black violence, and there were certainly some Antifa that tend to mask up, but without really need to do so. And I think just the narrative of these masked fed instigators kind of fed into this idea of, oh, well, all these guys in masks are trying to make us look bad. They're trying to make us look like violent white supremacists. And
I think it's more insidious than that. I think that some people feel that any advocacy for whites must be done by the FBI, because who else is crazy enough to do that? That it's actually, I find, something that is mostly a matter of fear. And I noticed too that the reason I think this stuff is more around now than it was before is that there is a strain of conservatism that is quite hostile to pro-white ideas, okay? And so that strain of conservatism was sort of thrown to the side or on the sidelines from 2016 to 2018, because Trump basically – these were the never-Trumpers, right?
Yeah.
Then something happened where in 2020 – the Trump campaign won those people back. And I find that a lot of the stuff that, you know, being, you know, protesting on behalf of a little girl who got shot in the face for her race means that you're a fed. That kind of nonsense comes from like what we used to call the cucks. It's literally the cucks that are doing that. Okay. Because you could prove beyond reasonable doubt. I mean, everybody knows that if you ask a Fed if they're a Fed, they have to tell you. So Carson, are you a Fed?
No.
There you go. See, we just proved that he's not a Fed. No. In all seriousness, like it really is a muted fear. It's a sublimated fear. Because if they're not Feds, if we're not Feds, then you have a moral obligation to come and stand with us.
That's right.
And so it's much easier to sit there and pretend everyone's a Fed, everyone's a Fed. It's much easier to do that because you're afraid. But you know what? The adult thing to do is to just say, hey, I'm afraid. I'm afraid to do the right thing. That's the adult thing to do. But instead, they demand that we get dragged down with them. And so this is, you know, something that we're just going to have to ignore. Okay, people that do the whole they're Feds bit.
Yeah.
Because a Fed doesn't go out there and make an intelligent argument. A Fed doesn't go out there for a morally defensible cause. The Feds are going out there doing satanic rituals and holding up signs with racial slurs on them. Okay, right. That's the kind of stuff the Feds like to do. So, you know, cut the crap. Grow up. Grow up is all Agreed. We have to say. Anything else, Borzoi?
Yeah. I got to get back in there, but I can say one more thing on that anecdotally, because I do have a Fox News boomer who is somewhat aware of my stuff and asks me questions about it all the time. And I've never heard from him the thing about the masks, maybe once or twice as like a passing mention. And he's not online. He's exclusively a Fox News watching boomer. So my theory is that like a lot of those refrains come from people that are more in the online conservative spheres and less so kind of like the Fox News watching ones. I don't think it even really comes up with the Fox News boomers as much.
Yeah, it's the Facebook ones. It's the ones that do QAnon and garbage like that.
Right.
It's the Facebook boomers. I mean, frankly, they're like a destructive force. I mean, it's kind of funny. They're the ones that destroyed digital media because companies like BuzzFeed made their money off of being clickbait on Facebook. But then when the millennials as parents started using Facebook, then Dan Bongino started getting all the clicks, you know? So BuzzFeed went out of business, which is a good thing, you know, but you know, it's also a double-edged sword because they are so nihilistic that they don't even want to think. It makes people's heads hurt to think about these issues, you know, because again, there's so many informal barriers to saying what's true. Right.
Yeah.
But if you're not willing to say what's true, then what the hell are you alive for? Like, stay out of politics, at least, you know?
All right. Iranian Johnny says, keep fighting the good fight, everyone. Wishing Borzoi, Stryker, Carson, and everyone else the best. All white victims of Zionist devil machine oppression will get the justice they deserve. White Jamahiriya now, tomorrow, and forever. WPWW says, be Stryker. Not know you got banned for not wearing a shirt in polite company. Oh shit, never mind, wore shirt. You're right, internet censorship is real. Fuck Zog. Well, NJP is doing something. Hail NJP, hail our people, hail victory. $1. But you already donated a bunch of stuff, WPWW. Don't worry about it. Killer Clown 13 gives us a stiff arm salute. Night Nation Review says, fuck Faw News, hail NJP.
Yeah.
And last donation here, WPWW donates $14.88. As 3 million white people just in this chat alone have commented, Eric Stryker has great delts. What best three delt exercises does Stryker recommend?
Also, delts. People appear Ooh. To be sick. Oh, wow. I take that as a compliment. My delts have always been my weak point.
Yeah. Well, also, the people appear to be saying that they demand at least one rear delt exercise. Hail victory.
Oh, man. Well, I screwed my I don't want to get into this. I screwed my shoulder up doing face pulls. I got like an impinged shoulder from it. Like
I was about ago. To say, just do face pulls.
Yeah, no, I you know I'm getting up there age wise, so I have to you know, watch out with the face pulls, but do your lateral raises, do your military press, always go heavy. If you could do more than five, this is terrible workout advice, but if you can do more than five, you're wasting your time. Always do heavy and as heavy as possible. And if there's girls watching, go heavier and risk an injury. And you will get nice delts. That's it.
Jotting
that. So
write it down, everyone.
Okay. Am I still? Did I mute myself?
No, you're good.
Okay. No. Okay. Florida Man asks, "How do I get more involved in NJP?" I mean, check the notes. The vetting stuff's all in there. You got to get vetted.
Yeah, get vetted. It's not that hard. It's not invasive. Just get vetted, and you'll get in. We got a big crew down there in Florida.
Yep. $5 from WPWW. Borzoi, did you see my Detroit joke when the Anglos were waiting for 8 hours for strike to get on white people time? If no, here you go. Why don't Negroes move to Detroit? Because there are no jobs.
A friend of mine that was going to South Africa recently told me that I asked him what time it was there, and he showed me he's like CPT time. He's talking about Cape Town. And so I was like, oh, interesting. CPT time. It's just the regular time in South Africa. Yeah. So
I don't think we have anything else.
All righty. No. So I think that's about it. Anything you want to advertise or plug, Carson?
No, other than I just want everyone listening. If you're not vetted, you need to be. This is what needs to happen in order to have the biggest effect in saving our race and building a country for our people. Get vetted, get involved. And this is only the beginning. It's only going to get better from here. Hail NJP, hail Mike, and hail Stryker.
Oh, and thank you for your work, Carson. You're doing the Lord's work down there.
Not a problem.
It's always a relief, you know, when other guys are stepping up like Carson and others, not just him. There is another guy that gave, I don't want to know who he is or whatever, but he did a great job on the microphone.
Yeah, he's actually a good friend of mine. I know he wouldn't mind getting a little shout out. That's Rex. He's one of our best guys.
Is there a way to get the video of that? Maybe it's not important, but definitely go watch the live stream of the protest.
Everyone. Yeah, he gave an incredible speech.
And you'll see Carson speaking, Warren speaking, and you'll see the other fella also speaking. So they all did amazing work right on point. The message was right on point. Everything exactly as it had to be. I think we have another question. Borzoi.
Did one more come in? Let me pull it up here. Oh, yep. I see it now. Okay. $25 from man with communist China flag. No wars for butt sex in Taiwan. Heil Stryker. And another $25 for the same thing. If that was a mistake, dude, that you only meant to do it once, go ahead and contact me. And I'll get one of them reversed.
Yeah.
But if you meant for both, agreed. Well, thank you very much.
No, thank you. Yes, thank you to everyone who listened and contributed. Please continue your support for our work. We're doing a lot with little. So, thank you again to Carson, to Warren, to everyone who came out in North Carolina for this worthy cause. And thank you, of course, to Jamie White, who took the initiative to make a statement to get the truth out there. So
he's a hero.
You. Yeah. So, you know, again, you were saying this in the protest, like, Why isn't Joe Biden giving this man a medal? Like, why isn't he being invited to the White House? He saved his daughter's life with his own body. And it's literally because he's white. And, you know, another thing, too, I want to say, Carson, is that, you know, I'm sure you're familiar with this. A lot of whites are, you know, they're still very understandably can be motivated or activated by the flag, by things like that. But if you watch Joe Biden's newest campaign video for 2024, it's all wrapped in the flag. Okay. They can redefine America. It's just, it's a multicultural version. It's a version where white people, the only white people in that video, the Joe Biden 2024 campaign, are the people working. So this is the new America. It's a bunch of people, of non-white people, and then with their white servants. And that's
that kind of reflects what's happening. You know, it's whites that are maintaining the infrastructure of this country that allow the non-whites to run things top down. And
like, you know, keep looking at least because if you want to have a multiracial society, why not make a good faith effort and bring Jamie White to the White House? Give him a medal. Give him some kudos. Give his family. Put his family story out there so that they can help raise money. I mean, we also played a role in helping their GoFundMe, right, Carson?
Oh, God, yes. Like, during our action, there were more than 300 donations to their Gifts and Go. And, like, many, many thousands of dollars were raised, tens of thousands of dollars were raised while we were out there and in the hours that immediately followed. And, it is just a big example of when you get out there in real life, you know, like you said, they are killing digital media and it's going to bite them in the ass because the more involved that we get out in the real world, the bigger effect we're going to have ultimately. And that's where we're at. And I'm tremendously optimistic about it.
Oh yeah, definitely. No, I thought it was great. The outpouring of support from the public in helping that family. Cause you know, if you're stuck with these hospital bills, if you're stuck with, the trauma. Imagine being a little girl who got shot in the face after someone racially abused her for no reason.
Through like your dad's body.
That's a trauma she's going to carry for the rest of her life.
Yes.
You know, like it's not fair. So
we owe it to her to put Robert Singletary away forever.
Forever. Forever. Exactly. All right. So if that's,
okay, so
if
there's nothing else, so China flag guy, it was just one donation. Sorry if I panicked you for a second there. There was just a glitch on my end. It was just the one. So we're good. You don't need to email me. But $5 from Action Jackson, who says steak, and I don't know what that means. $5 from WPWW. If I get vetted, will Saben give me a big tittied goth GF?
You're gonna have to ask him.
Never know till you try.
You're going to have to go to the post-punk night on Thursday at your local dive bar to find any goths anymore. So there you go. You don't need Sven for that. All right.
All right. We're done. Right. I'm not reading any more. I'm not reading any more last minute ones if they come in.
All right.
Okay. All right, that's it. Thank you, Carson. Thank you, Borzoi.
Thank you, Striker. Right. Yep. Thanks, Borzoi. Have a good night, guys.
I'm gonna end this now.